Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And if you don't have a Bible with you, well, you listen on. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Or perhaps the person that sits next to you will be kind to share their Bible with you, and you look on. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And we're commencing our reading at verse 32 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Commencing our reading at verse 32, let us hear God's word. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, and Latin, and Hebrew, This says the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. We'll end the reading there at verse 43, and knowing that the Lord will add his own blessing to this, the public reading of his infallible truth. Let us bow once again, briefly before the Lord, with our Bibles open before us, conscious that we need the Lord's help, and boys and girls, the ABC of prayer. A, arms folded. B, bow our heads. C, close our eyes. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, as we continue on in thy presence, we thank thee for all that has went before. We thank thee for thy help given already. We ask of thee for that intensifying of thy presence. We ask of thee that you'll empty us now of self and of sin, and that you'll fill us all full of the Holy Ghost and with power, that you'll bless the public preaching of divine truth. Bless the hearing of it. We ask of thee for that holy awe, to shut out the world and the clamor of it, to shut us in with thyself. Lord, we plead the blood against the enemy, against powers and principalities, knowing that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Lord, we feel our inadequacy. We feel our insufficiency. We feel our bankruptcy. Lord, we thank thee that we do not live by feelings, that we live by faith. We thank thee for him who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee that our sufficiency is of God, And therefore we cry unto thee that thou wilt hide us behind the cross, and that none would be seen save Jesus only. For he must increase and I must decrease. Lord, help us now, and bless the words of thy mouth. And we'd be careful to give thee all the praise and glory. Save the lost. And do that precious divine work that only thou can do. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. And for his eternal glory. And his eternal praise. Amen. Amen. We find from the opening pages in Genesis, and right through to the last pages in the book of Revelation, that all of Scripture focuses and centers upon the cross work of Christ. The Word of God is all about who Jesus Christ is and what he has accomplished. For it is the crimson thread that runs throughout every book and ties the Bible together and brings us to Calvary, to the cross work of Christ. It brings us to the blood atonement, the substitutionary death of the blessed second person of the Godhead, God the Son. Here in the passage that we have read together this morning, in Luke 23, we are brought to consider Calvary and the events that took place upon Golgotha's brow. We find that there were three crosses in view. One was the dying thief who turned from sin, who received Christ as his Savior, and was born again of the Spirit of God. And of course, there was the other dying thief who rejected Christ, who refused the offer of mercy, and who spurned the day of opportunity to know God and turned aside from the Lord. Then we are brought to consider the central cross. And of course, it is not the wood of the cross that we're referring to, but it is the Christ of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, and the Son of God. And so here we have read about two individuals who were crucified by the side of Jesus Christ. We read in verse 33, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." An individual crucified on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those two malefactors, those two men in many senses represent all humanity. That is, all of mankind. Every man, woman, boy, girl born into this world. We read of one who received Christ, one who was saved and delivered, and one who was lost and damned forever. One who went to heaven to be with Christ, which is far better, and one who went to hell to be without Christ forever. And so we are clearly presented before us with two men. One receiving Christ and one rejecting Christ. You see, it was before death. Before death, one of these two thieves was converted, gloriously saved, born again of the Spirit of God. And so we have the conversion of the penitent thief. The conversion of the penitent thief. This malefactor realized his sinful condition, saw his great need, and the one that he was in great need of, recognized that only Christ could save him, and repented, turned from his sin, and cried out to God for mercy. This thief, he realized his sinful condition. We read in verse 40, "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Hast thou no fear of meeting him so soon as thy righteous judge, him with whom we all have to do? For thou art within an hour or two of eternity, and dost thou spend it in reckless disregard of coming judgment?" Oh, we see divine grace being magnified. For he admits that he deserves what was done to him, and we indeed justly. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. Oh, he's confessing his sin, confessing his lost condition, his sinful condition. He sees his great need, for he has lived a life of sin and ungodliness, lived a life against God, in rebellion to God, robbed God of time and energy, a thief and a robber to society. And as he's hanging on the cross, on the brink of being ushered out into a Christless eternity, he realizes his lost condition. Oh yes, he's been a sinner all his life, but it's right at this moment, as he's hanging on the cross, he realizes the truth comes down to bear upon his own soul, and it is revealed to him of his lost condition. Oh, both were dying men. Both were dying men and suffering awful pain. Both were alike in that they were wicked sinners and needed forgiveness. Yet one died in his sins, died as he lived, unrepenting, impenitent, hardened, and unbelieving. Yet the other repented, believed, cried out to Jesus Christ for mercy, and was saved. Friend, have you realized your lost condition, your lost estate, that you are a sinner? Oh, though society would seek to remove the word sin from the dictionary, does not remove it from this book. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It doesn't say some have sinned, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And this malefactor, he is brought to realize his sinful condition, brought to see his great need, for you see, in the blood of every mortal man, in the blood of every mortal man runs the stream of sin, because man is tainted by sin. Man is stained by sin. Man is born in sin. Man sins because he is a sinner. And as Isaiah the prophet states in Isaiah chapter 1 and the first six from the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and putrefying sores. And so the natural man is corrupt from the sole of the foot, even unto the head. And so he is brought to see his great need. Friend, listen. You will never be saved. You will never be saved, never be born again by the Spirit of God until you realize your lost condition, that you are a sinner and that you confess your sins to God. And therefore this malefactor, this thief, realizes his wretched condition, that he is exceeding sinful. He not only realized his great need, that is, his sinful condition, but he also recognized the one that he was in great need of. The one he was in great need of, for this thief recognized only Christ could save him. Verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He recognized that Christ and Christ alone was able to save him. He had such a revelation of who Christ was and what Christ had come to do. Oh, he believes Christ to have suffered wrongfully, in the sense that he is not suffering for his own sins, because he has none, as he states, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Oh, the Spirit of grace enlighten him with this knowledge, that he is not suffering, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ is not suffering for his own sins, but for the sins of those he came to save, the sinless substitute. But this man hath done nothing amiss. His eyes opened to see the impeccable, incorruptible, incarnate God-man, that the Lord Jesus Christ not only was able not to sin, but that he was not able to sin. But this man hath done nothing amiss. W.G.T. Shedd, that great theologian, he said of Jesus Christ, he was not only able to overcome temptation, but he was unable to be overcome by it. Christ was sinless. He lived a life free from sin because he was impeccable, able not to sin, not able to sin. And so with every man born into this world, that is, with the blood of every mortal man runs the stream of sin, because man is tainted by sin, so with the precious blood of Christ there is no tarnish, there is no blemish, no spot. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And so the whole purpose of the appearance of Christ was the fulfillment of prophecy and type. And whether this malefactor had heard before of Christ and of his wondrous works, it does not appear, but the Spirit of grace enlightened him with this knowledge, that the shedding of his blood was one who was both God and man. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And therefore the blood of Christ is sinless because of his sinless humanity. For his humanity was without sin, his blood was without sin, and so the sinlessness of Christ speaks of the inward and outward purity of Christ. For such an high priest became us. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. You see, those who were of the order of Aaron, that is back in the Old Testament, that is the high priest, they were not only mortal men, but sinful men. They needed to offer up sacrifices first for their own sin, and then for the people. But our high priest needed only to offer up once for the people. Never at all for himself. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was exactly such a priest as we needed. For he is a personal holiness, perfectly free from the habits or principles of sin. He needed not to offer up sacrifices for himself. And so the distinguishing character of our high priest is purity and holiness. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And so the blood that saves, the blood that saves must be the blood of a real man. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a true man. As a result of the miracle of the virgin birth, hence the blood of Christ is sinless. For the whole humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ is a sinless humanity, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And this malefactor, he recognizes that Christ is the Lord, that he is master, and he acknowledges him as Lord. And he said unto Jesus, Lord. And he said unto Jesus, Lord. Verse 42. Don't simply take the preacher's word for it. Read it for yourself. Verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord. He acknowledges his person, who he is, acknowledging him to be the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord of all, and especially of his church and people and his own Lord. Verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He makes reference to Christ's kingdom. Thy kingdom. That which is beyond the grave. Not an earthly kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom, that Christ's kingdom as being of a spiritual nature and not of this world. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He recognizes that Christ was entering into his kingdom and glory after death. Listen. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You see, this dying thief recognized only Christ could save him. Man, woman, boy, girl, have you recognized your need and the one that you're in great need of? For this malefactor, this thief was converted. And how near to hell a man may be and yet be saved. This thief, was he not on the very brink of everlasting destruction? He's done nothing but evil all his days, down to the very last hour of his life. Yet he is saved, born again of the Spirit of God. For Christ plucks him as a brand from the burning. For this thief he repented, turned from his sin, and made request to God for salvation, deeply concerned for his soul. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Turns from his sin, cries out to God for mercy, for this is a prayer of a dying sinner to a dying Savior, perhaps never prayed before. Perhaps never prayed before. And yet now it was heard, and saved at the last gasp. Friend, while there is life, there is hope. And while there is hope, there is room for prayer. Therefore, cry unto him, Lord, remember me. Or like the publican, came into the house of God unjust, unsaved, unconverted, and yet went home just, justified, for he cried unto God, seeing the bloody sacrifice, God be merciful to me, a sinner. This penitent thief, snatched as a brand out of the burning, made a trophy of divine mercy and grace, and Satan, the enemy of souls, Satan, the enemy of your soul, was left to roar as a lion, disappointed of his prey. But let me make the point that this does in no way give encouragement to any to put off their repentance to their deathbed, or to hope that then they shall find mercy. For though it is certain that true repentance is never too late, it is as certain that late repentance is seldom true. For none can be sure that they shall have time to repent before death. And so the Lord answered his request. The gifts of repentance and faith given. Turn from sin. Trust that Christ is his Savior. And Christ promised to him eternal life. Verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And so this malefactor sees his great need. He's brought to see the one he is in need of and repents of his sin, cries out to God for mercy. Yet what about the other thief? Because as we understand it, one went to heaven whilst the other went to hell. Perhaps throughout life they robbed together. Perhaps throughout life they schemed together, ran about together, sinned together, and yet at death separated. And so the damnation of the impenitent thief. For how near a man may be to Christ. How near a man may be to Christ and yet not be saved. The other thief. He's as near the Savior as his fellow. And yet he perishes from the very sight of Christ. He goes down to hell. From the very sight of his saved fellow, he passes into damnation. Oh, we see the one going up to heaven from his cross and the other going down to hell from his. Oh, remember Judas Iscariot. We see one who had been with Christ in his life go down to his own place. His going to hell is the just punishment of his sin. Or the damnation of this impenitent thief, one who was beside Christ in his death. And so what a lesson recorded for us today. What a lesson recorded for us. Such a warning given to us. For can any of you be nearer to Christ than this impenitent thief was? Looking at him, speaking to him, hearing him, alongside him, and yet lost, damned forever. Friend, make sure not outward nearness, not contact with the Word of God, not partaking of the Lord's table, not this meeting or the prayer meeting, not all these can save. You may be very near Christ and yet not in Christ. The person beside you may be saved and you yourself lost. Oh, this thief, he rejected Christ, refused to come to Christ, refused to ask God to save him and to remember him. Oh, the impenitent thief didn't realize his need. Neither did he see that Christ was the Son of God and God the Son. There was no repentance and no request made to God for salvation. Friend, if we repent not, we shall certainly perish eternally, as others have done so before us. For he has set before us life and death, good and evil, and put us to our choice. What did this impenitent thief say as he was hanging on the cross on the very brink and the very threshold of being ushered out into God's eternity? Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." Oh, here we have a man at the end of his life, an opportunity to be saved and make his peace with God, but refused to seize the opportunity. This impenitent thief hung on the cross beside the Son of God. He was given time to consider about his own soul, and so have you. And so have you. He was given time to consider about his sin and his eternal destiny. And so have you. Yet he refused to contemplate or regard any of these matters while the other thief sought Christ. This impenitent thief continued to deride the Savior and mock the Son of God until his last breath was taken. And how sinful and depraved the human heart of man is. Oh, he refused to receive Christ as his Savior. No thought of his sin and sinful ways. He didn't acknowledge his sin or confess his sin. And friend, you cannot find forgiveness until you first acknowledge your sinfulness. No thought of his eternal destiny. This thief, he simply wanted to get down from the cross and continue on in his sin. There was nothing spiritual about what this man was looking for. And perhaps you're doing the very same thing. You can't wait to get out of this meeting. You don't want to be here. You can't wait to get out those doors and to continue on in your sinful pursuits. And so when he was alive, he gave no thought of eternal matters. As it states in verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, if thou be Christ." What a statement. A sentence spoken in unbelief. For he didn't believe that Christ was the Messiah. He didn't believe that Christ was the Savior. He didn't believe that Christ was the Son of God. Friend, it is the great sin of unbelief that damns men to eternal hell forever. John 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He would not believe and accept that the one who hung upon the metal cross was the Savior of the world, a people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. And therefore he refused to put his faith and trust in Christ for salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen, sinner. You are undone if you do not take shelter in this name and make it your refuge and strong tower. For you cannot be saved but by Jesus Christ. And if you are not eternally saved, you are like this impenitent thief, eternally undone. Therefore, make sure that you have sought him with all your heart, and never rest until you know you've been washed from your sins. For he was God. He was God of very God. Christ died, and God accepted the blood of Christ. And therefore he cannot reject the sinner who pleads that blood. For the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Therefore, come now. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, bold and brash, just like this thief's, both were wicked sinners, both needed forgiveness. Therefore, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Christ is the difference between heaven and hell. Receiving Christ or rejecting Christ. One was saved, delivered. One was lost, damned forever. Take heed and heed him this day. Let us bow reverently, quietly before the Lord. Lord, our most gracious and heavenly Father, we ask of thee that you'll take that which has been of thyself. Pray that you'll apply it to hearts savingly. All that has been of man will fall to the ground, for it's worthless in thy sight. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless the redeemed of God. Lord, save the dying. Save the perishing. And do that gracious divine work this day. Give deciding grace, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.